Today's guests are husband and wife dynamic duo, Drs. Sashindra and Bhavisha Joshi in India. I've had so many of you email and private message and request in my Facebook group to have these two superstars on the show. So it was truly an honor to finally get them on the Homeopathy Hangout podcast. As homeopaths, we are constantly challenged by our ever-increasing materia medica, which some say has now reached 8,000 remedies, depending on who you ask. This obviously creates a mammoth task of trying to find out which remedy is going to best suit the client in front of us. The Joshis have used Jan Skolten's existing classification of the elements and adapted this to their own interpretation, which incorporates plants, minerals, animals, and imponderables. To find out more about the Joshis' work, their books, and their upcoming courses, visit www.drjoshisclinic.com. That's drjoshisclinic.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. We have such a beautiful surprise for you today. We have the incredible Dr. Sashindra and Bhavisha Joshi on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I said to you before we started recording, I have had people hounding me to get you on the show. I've had text messages, I've had emails, I've had private messages to get you on the show. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Before we get into your incredible map system that you've developed, can you tell us a little bit about how you were first introduced to homeopathy?
Mm-hmm. You want to take it?
Up to you.
Okay.
What a gentleman.
You know, in India, it's always at a very young age that we get into homeopathy, because luckily homeopathy is offered as a mainline stream of medicine study. So we were literally just both of us, I think 16, 17, when you give your, you finish high school and you choose for university, you choose a regular medicine, or we chose homeopathic medicine. Yeah, so that was very young age, 17. Mm. And from then on, we have 5.5 years of rigorous training, which has all the, so we get a doctor's degree at the end of it. So we have regular classes in anatomy, physiology, pathology, general medicine, gynec, blah, blah, blah. As well as we have homeopathic materia medica organon philosophy. So it's a very well-blended learning system of 5.5 years.
Amazing. And Sashindra, you've got to tell me, how did you meet this beautiful woman? Was it at college, or was there much persuasion involved?
The best way to get the right partner is to see the partner in action. And I got lovely 5 years to see her in action. And I said, okay, she's the right person. And believe me, it wasn't the homeopathic college actually that brought us together. Yeah. Look, along with medicine or learning homeopathy, there are so many things that you do as a person to maybe enlighten, to read more, to study more, to participate in various aspects of life. And one of the things that we both enjoyed doing was dramatics. And we met each other while doing our college dramas, where we would never meet each other throughout the year, but end up meeting each other during our college events every year annually. And then we thought that our drama is going well. Why don't we continue it further for a little too long?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Now it will be 25 years next year that we'll be married. So yes, we passed out, and the next thing was we got married.
Oh, and I've got to know, what are your conversations like at home? Do you ever talk about anything other than homeopathy, or is it, do you feel it's all consuming? Because my poor husband, he's not a homeopath, he's an IT professional, but he humors me by pretending to listen to all my stories of my clinic from the day. But do you find that a lot of your conversation evolves around homeopathy?
I would say that homeopathy is such an integral part of our life. Yeah. So we breathe homeopathy, we cook homeopathy, we live homeopathy. Our son practically knows most of the remedies. He's now into his engineering and physics studies, but he knows so much of medicine and homeopathy. So yeah, 24/7. And, you know, we got married so early, as Sachindra said, we're completing 25 years next year. So we were like 23, 24, right out of college. We wanted to work together. we wanted to imbibe homeopathy into us. So we've really, it's not just that our conversations are about homeopathy, but homeopathy is a way of living, literally. Understanding the opposite person, understanding and observing your reactions and your personality. So we're literally living homeopathy daily. And I think that makes it very interesting and very healthy for us also.
Absolutely. It's not work, honestly. For us, practice, or maybe talking about it, it's not that, oh my God, we have to attend the clinic. It's always fun that, okay, what do we do? It is stressful. Maybe there are so many patients, many doing great, some not doing so. Acute diseases that people come down with. It's more of a challenge and a brain stimulus that we get when we talk about homeopathy. So often at meal times, yeah, if she has seen a patient and she would come and discuss with me that, you know, I saw this person, this was so peculiar. I tell her, I saw this something amazing thing in the clinic, or the patient is doing such an amazing thing in his life. So you kind of see an entire world through that. And then you see, okay, did I give the right prescription? And then you kind of discuss, and it's so much fun. So that's how the conversation goes on.
And plus, if you notice that Bawisha has some PMS symptoms, you can sneak her some CPR into her water and then there's no more fights. So there's added benefits.
Some benefits.
I like that.
So talk to us a little bit about the MAP system. What is it and how did it come about?
I think homeopathy is not an easy science. Yeah. And most people who come to homeopathy in India and abroad, everywhere, have something which they feel connects to that science and that pushes them to practice and do better and better. Yeah. If you look at modern medicine or general medicine, homeopathy is way more difficult than that, where a person has to think, has to deduct what is to be given. And often the results can be challenging too. So you need motivation. And when you need motivation and you want to keep people going and growing, which is very important, yeah? Science has to grow. People have to grow. It is important to simplify the science. It is important to simplify the tools. Because often people come to seminars, come to events, and they're best of the speakers all across the world. And we are left in awe that, oh my God, what an amazing prescription. What an amazing case. And one wonders, okay, my God, how do I do that in my clinical practice when a patient comes to me? So the driving force was always for us to simplify things for ourselves. And in that process, to simplify things for people who practice homeopathy, to people who follow us in homeopathy. And that's the whole motivation that made us go move every step further in simplifying homeopathy right from day one that we started teaching until now. And then, of course, the system evolved.
And I think to add to this, you know, what we just told you some time back, that we live homeopathy, we breathe homeopathy. So the MAP system is really our evolution over the past 25 years. So it's one is you want to simplify, but the second important thing is you also want to go deeper and you want to learn one more step further. And as we went through college and we understood the materia medica, yeah, in those days, I would say we didn't understand, we rote learned materia medica to pass your exams. So we did all of that. We understood medicine. And then as we moved into practice, we wanted to upgrade ourselves. We wanted to understand what the patient is saying. We wanted to improve our results. So you're always learning and improvising. You know, now over a period from materia medica, we moved and proving symptoms, we moved into trying to understand the patient's basic core personality. But then we started exploring kingdoms. Yeah. We also started working with other homeopaths, the Sankaran group. Yeah. We were all together for a long time. We worked on the periodic table. It was, of course, Jan Scholten who first introduced us to those concepts. And then we took those concepts by ourselves a little further in our practice. Now, what happened, I clearly remember. So, you know, you learn and grow with every step in homeopathy. And I clearly remember that in 2007 or 2008, I would say a little earlier than that, 2006, 2007, I came across, I think, a catastrophic time in my life. We had a very good practice and everything was going well. We were teaching across the world. We were teaching periodic table and mineral remedies, blah, 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 different kingdoms, all of this. And I very clearly remember that some patients from 1997, 1998, 99, so 5-6 years ago, were now coming back with a different set of complaints, and the earlier mineral or plant remedy was not working, the constitutional, let me put it simply. And you always want to improvise. So that's when we actually ended up retaking the case. And the reason I'm saying it was catastrophic period is because we ended up giving a different remedy than what we had given 6 years ago. And this new remedy was an animal remedy. So my first doubt was, I was starting to doubt ourselves that how, you know, you learn from questioning and doubting, right? And then reconfirming or moving to what is right. So I questioned myself, what did I do wrong 6 years ago? Why did the remedy change? And then we realized that, so we did a lot of learning together, and we went through retrospective study of cases and cases and cases at that time. I would say I moved from syphilitic miasm to psora in that period. So from catastrophe to enlightenment, literally. Because what happened is, I started to see that the new remedy that we had now prescribed and was working very well was in a way related to the previous one. So it wasn't that, though the remedy like was from a different kingdom, like an earlier plant given and now an animal, an earlier mineral given, now a plant, an earlier mineral given, now an animal. Though the kingdoms were different, yeah, there was something connecting the three kingdoms. And that I realized what we today call in our map system as the level of development. Okay, so it could have been a mineral remedy, let's say natrium, giving you a small example, could be a mineral remedy, let's say magnesium salts. And today I was giving lacanium. The row three, let me put it on a periodic table wise, because the levels of human development are the same as the seven rows of the periodic table. Okay, so the magnesium salt actually corresponded very well with the lacanium, or a case of, say, hyoscyamus, which is level six in a plant, connected very well with lacases. Or a case of aurum, connected very well with Panthera tigris. Okay. So when something goes wrong, you learn something out of it. So in one way, I could have looked at it that, you know, I had to change a remedy. But in another way, when I looked at it, it wasn't that I had to change the remedy. The fact was that these two remedies, the old one and the new one, both have something common, and that is the level. Just as Hahnemann found out and discovered miasms, and he said that miasms are deeper than the symptoms, right? Similarly, first we were thinking of kingdoms and symptoms and core sensations, and then we figured out that the level is much deeper than the kingdoms. I would also like to say that earlier, when we first introduced this idea that the three kingdoms, and this is the basis of the MAP system, that there is a basic level of development in each one of us, or each one of us thrives in one of the seven levels of development. There are plants, minerals, and animals that are also put on this grid of seven levels of development. And on the level that you are, you can have a plant counterpart that can heal you, a mineral counterpart that can heal you, and an animal counterpart that can heal you. So you actually have three counterparts to your pattern. And when we initially started that, obviously any new idea has a little bit of a resistance. And today, but I can see that some of the most old homeopaths and the most classical ones are also beginning to realize this, what we started about, I think, 15-20 years ago. So today when we teach, I see that there are a lot of old classical homeopaths and all our colleagues and everybody who is joining this, because they have also seen this in practice.
I think what is important is that Bhavish and I always believed in looking at the brutal truth that our patients shared with us in practice. They shared with us when a case went well, and they were obviously upset when a remedy did not do well. So you see that, you analyze that, and you understand what is the connection, what is the change. Because remember that there is always something more deeper than what we all know. And as time passes, we know something more about whatever work that we are doing intensely. It opens up and it's good to understand it, accept it, explore it, and share it. And that's where our ideas have been revolutionary, and we've been opening up and breaking concept that, oh, there is something more beyond it. See that, because I'm sure if it's happening in our clinic, it's happening in everybody else's, because the truth is the same for nearly all of us.
Are you able to talk to us a little bit about the levels of development? Like, what are they?
You know, each human, each one of us, now let's make it very simple. Each one of us actually does go through all 7 levels of development, if you look at it. Yeah, whether you look at it from the psychiatric point of view, you look at it from a spiritual point of view, you look at it biologically and physically. Yeah. So let's break down these 7 levels simply. We all are born, right? Or rather, we all get conceived to begin with. Yeah. So the first level of development is really the level of conception that we all go through. Yeah. So we are all conceived at a point from energy and we become matter. So that's that first level. And I'll explain you a little bit how people behave in these levels. Mm. The next level is the level where this matter that has come into being starts to develop a structure, starts to form its own structure. So you could compare it to the fetal and the infantile level, where all of us are in a womb. We all go through that development. And then we also have to leave the womb, right? After 9 months. So we begin, then we have to leave that boundary. We are within a boundary. So if you look at it in terms of consciousness, so in consciousness comes that one dot, which is conception. And then that dot begins to realize it's within this large boundary of consciousness. Then you get into the third level. From the fetal or an infantile stage, we all get into being toddlers. And I would say the third level goes from the toddler to the teenager. Okay. So what happens to all of us? Now, if you look at it, we all start wanting. So when we are infants, it's about our basic necessities. We simply have to survive from one day to the next. Mm-hmm. It's not about emotions. But once we become toddlers, we start looking at who we are, our identity. And this whole process goes from toddler to teenager phase. The most difficult phase for parents, isn't it? And what we do is we learn to know who we are. We learn to know our choices. We learn to know our orientation in a group. We learn to know our identity. Let's put it simply. We also learn to rebel. My identity is different from my parent. And then we all go through what I call in level 4 as an adult phase. And in the adult phase, you have kind of understood a certain identity of yours, but now you have to sustain, and we all go through that, right? And how do we sustain? We sustain by either doing some form of work. We sustain by creating our homes, our security, money, food, bills, having a family, living a routine life, yeah? And then slowly and slowly, that little dot that was conceived in level 1 starts to get more and more predominant and more heavy and more defined. Let's put it like that. Then we come to the 5th level, and that happens to all of us, that once we are settled, once we have a routine, once we have some form of security, we want to explore. Then we want to go on a holiday. Then we want to do adventure. Then we want a flashy car. Then we want to try something new, isn't it? So that would be exploring your boundaries within the consciousness thing. Yeah. And what happens to all of us beyond level 5? And these are also, if you look at it, age group wise, typically what we all go through. Yeah. And then, so level 5 would be more the middle ages, whereas the level 6, which is the last level in a way, is a level where we then start to feel that we know it all. Because we have gone, or we have moved and evolved and grown from that almost inconceivable, small, little, imperceptible point to this thing which has now a structure, an identity, which has known the world. So we kind of have that ego development, Yeah, where we feel we can control others, we are in control ourselves. So it's in a way feeling empowered, but it's in a way also that we could then get controlling over others.
Mm.
We also feel responsible for others. Just one thing I would like to say is that all these seven levels have a positive and a negative.
Mm.
I'm not going to go into the details of this, but I'm sure you understand. So on one side, when you feel empowered and wise, that is the positive of level six. But if you use that to be dictatorial and controlling, that is a negative of level six. See what I mean?
Mm.
And then you go into level seven. And I think this is a very important level in today's world with autoimmune diseases and cancers spreading, you know, almost like a viral thing.
Mm.
Because in level seven, it's about the wisdom of knowing that within consciousness, within that whole big, I would say, fabric of consciousness, you now realize that you tried to get stronger and stronger and more structured and defined, but you actually, if you have to be the strongest, you have to merge back into consciousness.
Mm.
Yeah. So in level seven, and that's what happens with a lot of autoimmune diseases and cancers, that we fight our own body or that we lose that control of balance. How much to control and how much not. And then comes the wisdom that we have to actually give it all up. So the seven, in a way, goes back to the one. And what I'm trying to say is, though biologically, we will go through all these seven levels, emotionally, we live in one of these levels predominantly.
Mm.
Like there could be a person who's living his entire life in level two.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or so it doesn't matter his age. It could be a 70 or 80 year old that's still really in level two.
Yes. There could be a person who's just 5 or 6 years old and they already are very sure of themselves and they're almost dominating even older children than them and what they want. And they're very sure and very strong about their views and opinions. So you can see a level six there from the very beginning. So what I was trying to say is each one of us lives our lives in one of these seven levels.
Mm.
Yeah. So I was just telling you that Aristotle has written very beautifully that man is a goal seeking. And that's what it is. In each of these levels, we are seeking a certain goal of that level. Like in level three, we are seeking our identities all our lives. In level four, we are looking for security all our lives. In level five, we are seeking for adventure all our lives. Yeah, I'm just making it a little simple.
Mm.
Now, what is interesting is, so in the map system, what we found is not only that humans can be put on these seven levels, plants can be put on these seven levels, animals, minerals are already there because the basic grid of the seven levels is the grid of the periodic table. I would say we've simply borrowed the fantastic periodic table matrix or grid, yeah, and we've realized that plants, minerals, animals, humans, we all follow this pattern of seven levels and 18 columns. When I say 18 columns, these are the columns of the periodic table.
So you can go from above downwards and from left to right, and you can fine tune the pattern, the energy that the person belongs to, and select a remedy.
Absolutely. Imponderables are also on this grid. Yeah. Nosodes are part of the animal world. Yeah. And so are sarcodes. So I don't consider them separately. But even the imponderables can be put on these six.
Absolutely.
On these seven levels and 18 columns.
Actually, our first journey with the imponderables began nearly 20 years back when we came to Australia and we saw interesting personalities and we saw some interesting cases and we could see a lot of remedy imponderable cases in your subcontinent.
Why do you think that
and
is?
I think it could be the energy that draws various personalities to that particular continent. And that has got to do with this whole energy of connecting, of deeper connection, of looking at the world from a little beyond different view. Mm. And that somewhere draws people, maybe especially the ones who come to that particular country.
Amazing. So is this, like, how does this fit in with classical homeopathy? Like, is it still classical or how does that work?
So what is classical homeopathy? A classical homeopathy is about taking into account everything that is characteristic about the patient at the local level, at the general level, at the emotional level, and making a prescription which covers the entire totality or the entire entity, if we label that as classical homeopathy.
So very much, this is an extension of classical homeopathy. Now, you have to remember one thing. I always tell homeopaths who are new to this system or who want to learn, often I tell them that the feeling you have that this is not classical homeopathy, I'm not talking just about our MAP system, but anything new. The feeling that one often has is this is not classical homeopathy, this is not, is the rigidity and the fear to give up our old concepts. Now, the one thing about MAP system is not giving up of old concepts. We have built this based on old concepts. So when we started putting the animals, minerals, and plants on this periodic table, we looked through the proving symptoms. We looked through the materia medica, and then we have placed them on these different levels. Now, also in the last 250 years, mankind has evolved. We didn't have mobile phones 250 years ago. We didn't have autoimmune diseases and cancers so extensively 250 years ago. We didn't have emotional troubles as we have today, 250 years ago. But then we had malarias, we had typhoid, we had tuberculosis much stronger. Yeah. And people dying from these kind of infections. If you look at some of the old classical books, then it's all about certain words that are not even used today. So when man has evolved, when the things around mankind have evolved, when the way we look at things have evolved, shouldn't homeopathy evolve as well? So, and I must say that I always say to everyone is our MAP system is not a concept of our brain at all. We discovered something in 2007 in our clinics by giving different remedies. Yeah, when the old did not work, based on symptom totality. So that was classical homeopathy. But then we discovered that classical homeopathy can be taken further deep down. So it's in a way, the MAP system is a bit like the tree whose roots go deeper down and whose branches also spread out further, out in the open. So it's both ways. We are going deeper to our roots and we are also spreading out further with more and more remedies. And it's a very practical thing that we do every day in the clinic. So it's a discovery. It's not a concept of our brains.
It's not a creation. It's a discovery. So remember, these connections between the kingdoms and everything else, the stones, the nosos, the imponderables, everything, that connection is already there in nature. Yeah, the connection is not what we have found. Oh my God, look at the connection. Nature says, damn it, it was always there. You guys are knowing it now. So we got that opportunity to see that in our practice long, long back. And we opened it up to the world to use it.
That's absolutely beautiful. I was playing devil's advocate before when I asked about how it relates to classical homeopathy, just by the way. But you answered that beautifully. So how can people learn about the MAP system? Can you tell us a little bit about that? For any of the homeopaths listening that feel that this is something they want to employ in their practice, how can they learn about this?
So what we have done is we have put about 30 hours of free videos on YouTube on our website where everybody who wants to learn about the MAP system can read and watch those videos free of cost without email IDs and without give your personal details, nothing. We want nothing. We just want people to watch. So they can visit our website, drjoshisclinic.com. And there's a whole section on free videos where they can see 30 hours of our regular videos, our courses, and our material. And they can understand the concept of the MAP to begin with. And of course, then they can join seminars, webinars that are conducted all across the world.
So there are 8 books that I've written, that we've written. And the books have also grown and evolved just like us. So we started with my very first book was Homeopathy and Minerals in the Periodic Table. And then we went on to write a book on nosodes together. Then we did the quick book.
The quick book is the first book where we shared the connection between animals and minerals. That book is now was printed 10 years back, more than 10 years, and it's been translated in 4 or 5 languages all across the world.
So all these, then we had the mammal book, the bird book, which is a very recent one, which explains the map system in great detail. So all our books have always a first section to the book, which is philosophy, where you understand case taking, you understand what we are thinking, why we are thinking.
How we are thinking.
Then we have some practical applications. So that will be cases. And then starts the materia medica of that particular kingdom or sub-kingdom. So these, the information of these books is available on the website. You can buy those books online. And of course, as Suchindra said, if you keep in touch with us or send us a mail to our website, we will send you information about all our happening events in different parts of the world. It could be offline or these events could be online. So you can very much learn the system. And, you know, the community is growing. The map community is really growing all across the world. So you can be part of this community.
Eugene, I would love to share something very personal to Bhavisha and me, is that since we've been teaching this map actively for the past few years, and there are many good map prescribers all across the world, yeah? So when we have events, we have classroom sessions where there are discussions, we are amazed at the clarity that our participants have and the clarity in the prescription, the remedy selection. And often they are so good that we realize that they as well realize that the master that they're seeking out is working. The master that they're seeking out is connecting and clicking within them. And that is exactly what appeals to us as teachers, is then when the students are able to understand and use it in the right spirit. Yeah, so that's the beauty of map system. I think it's wonderful to see our life case seminars where often the participants can analyze and come to a good remedy without us.
And you know what I like about our events is everybody. So we have these monthly tonics when we give out these cases.
There's one happening today in about 4 hours time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. And there are people from all across the world, all across, from New York to Australia, all the different time zones, Europe in the middle.
Japanese too.
And Indians and Japanese. So it's amazing. And the whole class of 80, yeah, we all come to the same level, the same column, a very similar remedy. And that's when you know. And then we may have to just tweak it sometimes. And most of the times, everybody is on the same page. That's when you know that it's a reproducible system. You know that it is simple and easy to incorporate in practice. And you know that it is working well, because if different people all across the world can do it in the similar way, then it's absolutely, I would say, very grounded system. In fact, in England, there is a lovely course that's happening.
Oh, yes.
The ACT course, A-C-T. Yeah. So there are these girls group who have been our students and have been with us for the last, I think, 20 years now. And they run a course on the MAP system called the ACT course.
And they teach our work and they teach better than us.
Yes,
because there are about 70 to 80 homeopaths, or maybe 100 homeopaths over the past few years who have been participating in their courses and using the MAP system actively in England with good results.
That is incredible. And I feel like if you have got a system which you feel is that reproducible, that you can have 80 people come to kind of like a bullseye rough mark roughly of the same group of remedies, that is very good. Because I always say, if you go to 100 different homeopaths, all 100 of them will give you very different remedies. So that's beautiful that you've created a system where we can have some sort of consistency, because a lot of people are frustrated by the fact that homeopaths do prescribe so differently. So that's really great. I think like a new student homeopath who are just starting out can sometimes get frustrated by this. So if they have a good system like this that they can start out from right from the start and get consistent results until they build up their own confidence and maybe want to explore more. And even later on in practice, it sounds like it's a system that you can really have a good grounding
on. Often with homeopathy, when you ask for a case analysis to a participant, the answer that you get is, I think this patient requires this particular remedy. And thinking is very individualistic. And when you say that, okay, I see this and this, and that is why this is the logic, it makes sense.
Amazing. Shasindra and Bhavisha, have either of you got a final message that you want to leave our listeners with? And can you also tell them how they can get hold of you?
The first thing I would like to say is be confident of yourself. Yeah. Be very confident about what you're doing and about your pathi, which is homeopathy. Yeah. The second most important thing is, I would like to say, be fearless, because that's what Hahnemann wrote. Yeah, that's the beginning of our organon, Odesaper. I dare to be wise. It's our fears that restrict us to learn something new, to grow, yeah, to leave what we know. Yeah, it's our fears that do not allow us to evolve and blossom. So when you're fearless, you will learn something more. You will take what you knew and you will build on it and grow further. It's very important. And the most important, the third most important thing is that everything that you want to understand about your patient, every remedy you want to give him, every question you want to ask, everything is sitting in front of you and that's your patient. So when you're doing your case taking, forget all materia medica, forget all the previous knowledge. And that's what probably Hahnemann meant by being unprejudiced. Just focus on the patient in front of you, be in the moment, and it really flows smoothly and you will get your answer.
That's me applauding.
And it's you can connect perfect. With us. You can visit our website. That's drjoshisclinic.com. That is DRJOSHIS clinic, CLINIC, drjoshisclinic.com. So our website is very simple. You have our contact details there, videos there. You can explore for books and courses or whatever that you want to do or connect with us. And then, of course, you can join our MAP journey and map yourself and your patients.
Very soon, we are doing the Hudson Seminar, which is a masterclass that happens once a year. And this will be in May.
That will be a live event online where we'll be seeing live cases. So this event has been on for the past 13 years. And we have participants all across the world. So we'll be doing live cases with follow-ups and, of course, a lot of study material. And that's always the first event of the year where we share what we have done so far in the year with the class so that they can take it further in their clinical practice. So that's an event for people who want to explore more with us to join.
That's perfect. This will be coming out early April, so people will have about a month to book in. So that is wonderful news. Thank you so much to both of you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And now my listeners can finally leave me alone and not hassle me to have you on the show. Have a wonderful day and thank you so much.
I'm so glad we have this and we got to meet you. Most welcome and thank you for giving this opportunity. And we really enjoyed talking to you.
All the best.